Sei still, leg dich da so viel.
The shul is packed with people who have come to pray, but unfortunately, some have lots to say. The rub hangs on the bima, and he asks for silence. This is wrong, you must be strong.
Okay, and that new intro to the Back of the Shul podcast was brought to you by... Shut up. Was brought to you by the law firm of Cease and Desist. Okay, you know what? I'm just gonna tell everybody who is listening. We recorded like 25 minutes, and it was utter crap. And we just cut out all of it.
We just started arguing. Like, it was literally 20 minutes of us just arguing about what we wanted to do and not do.
Yeah, we were literally arguing, and I'm sorry to like start off season three of the Back of the Shul podcast. Yeah, that's right. We're up to season three. I'm sorry to start it off like this, but yeah, we legit were just arguing for 25 minutes on over nothing. Like, I don't even know what we were arguing about. I think it was something with communism. The word communism came up in regards to WhatsApp statuses. So I'll leave everybody else to do the mental calculations. But yeah, this is the season three Back of the Shul podcast. We're back. It's been a while. Menachem's out of rehab. Joe just built an extension to his mansion that he's currently in the studios. And I have a mic. I have a mic because my audio is terrible. So yeah, we're back. I think I've mentioned that three times already. And I feel like let's just address the elephant in the room. The fact that we've been away for like 3 months. Hey.
That seems about right. Seems
what's about up?
Right for an opening. The only way that it could have been worse would be like we do like the classic yeshiva when you see a guy you haven't seen in about 6 months, you see him Pesach Ben Osmanim. Like, right. So
the conversation's like,
where are you
like,
learning?
No. It's like, where are you learning?
How are you?
What are you learning? Once you hit the like, what are you learning? Yeah, the conversation's done.
Hard stop. You start looking around for someone else to talk to.
If you're ever in a conversation and that's what the conversation turns to, then you're just in trouble. To be honest,
the barometer for it is, does this sound like the dialogue that would happen in an elementary school play? And if the answer to that question is yes, stop the conversation right away and just walk away.
Yeah. What?
Hi, Maishi.
What are you learning? What are you learning is the universal sign of like, go screw yourself. Like, I couldn't care less about you. Yeah. So I feel like we need to address the elephant in the room. And kind of win back our audience, you know, the many thousands of listeners that we've accumulated over these glorious two seasons. So we were like kicking around ideas. What?
We're just gonna like ignore the 20 minutes that we spent arguing about. If you say what I told you I'm not doing, we're gonna have a problem again.
Okay, basically, I had an idea that would have entailed Menachem probably working 36 hours straight. And I'm tempted to say it, but I'm not going to out of respect for him and the fact that I just cursed him out 3 minutes before we 3 minutes before
we
started.
I mean, you can say it, I'm just not going to do it.
Okay, so, we're not getting back into this discussion again.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, we were thinking of a few things. We were thinking of a charity campaign. We were thinking of knocking on doors, sending out letters, but I think we landed on a pretty good idea while we were screaming at each other. And that is we'll bring on listeners. This season we're not going to call it like, we're not going to be cheesy like that and call it season of the listener, but that's what we're aiming towards this season.
I say we go for it. Let's call it
season of the listener.
Season of the listener.
Go for it. You know what? We'll tweet out season of the listener eyeball emoji. By the time you listen to this, you'll have already seen it. And yeah, we'll leave everybody to.
Right, and then just go dark on Twitter again.
Yeah, but then we'll release an episode. I don't know, soon. But yeah, the point is, this will be the season of the listener, and we are formally inviting you, Barayv Shevach V'Hayda, to come on the back of the shul. I'm not going to say, okay, don't send in applications to Menachem. I said don't send it in.
He said don't.
Did I not say don't? I said don't.
The record shows that Shlomo said don't.
You did. That is a fact. You did say
don't. Right, I said don't. I said don't send it. It would be a real shame if everybody spammed the WhatsApp. It would be a real shame if everybody sent in their applications to be a guest on the back of the Shul podcast to the WhatsApp. But I'm just saying it would be a real shame. So definitely don't do that. And definitely don't DM us on Twitter to be on the show. But basically, oh,
that
but here
it's going to be your problem.
Okay. So here's the thing. In order to we'll figure out the rest and we'll post the rest at a later date. You must be subscribed to the WhatsApp though. It's not enough to be a Twitter follower. You must be subscribed to
or
the
Instagram.
WhatsApp.
Don't forget we have like five of those.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You have to be on you have to be subscribed to the WhatsApp or Instagram. How about we do that?
Okay.
Twitter doesn't count because we hate Twitter. And we don't check Instagram. yeah, so and we're here, we're formally inviting listeners on. There'll be one listener per episode. And please, like, if you're going to make, like, you know, you got to get the show. You got to get the show. We'll figure out the details, but you got to get the show. Yeah, so we'll come hang, you know, and come chill.
We have 93 followers on Instagram.
Really?
I thought we had, like, 10.
Wow.
Okay.
Sick flex. So yeah, we had to just pause for a couple of seconds because Menachem decided to dump a tub of ice cream on his keyboard. But let's get right into things. Again, we'll let you know, you guys know the details about you know, the ensuing episodes and listeners coming on the podcast. So let's get right into Minion updates.
Wait, so after all that, we're not even discussing how they're supposed to come on?
No, we'll tell them after. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll
have to figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure, whatever.
Future us will tell them. Okay, so I'll start with the Minion updates, and it's actually references something that we've talked about before on the show, and that is the, you know, if a guy walks into a Milchig restaurant, right, take away his man card. Now, obviously, there are exceptions, meaning if you're on a date, right, whether, you know, shidduch dating or you know, with your wife. That's totally excusable. So I just went to Primavera in Muncie the other day. Is my, you know, for my wife's birthday, we went out to Milchig restaurant. Now, granted, the entire time I felt like, you know what, I just do not belong here. Like this is not my scene as a guy. But whatever, it's fine. You know, we went out there. Sitting behind us was an, I know that they're from this yeshiva. I know there are listeners. We have listeners in this yeshiva. We're a group of guys there in the middle of the day for lunch, just a group of guys in a Milchig restaurant. I nearly vomited. Like,
you got to ask questions.
I know. The question that I had was, do I go like in person to the Rosh Yeshiva or do I call him up? Like, it was, I was so bothered throughout the entire, like, lunch date with my wife. I'm like busy commenting, like, you know what, maybe the Rosh Yeshiva should stop talking about like the evils of smartphones and focus on the fact that Bacharam and his yeshiva are hanging out in a Milchig restaurant.
You have to be Don Lakavzichos a little bit. Maybe one of them, like, if he didn't eat right away he would die, so he had to come in to the restaurant, like, you know, like the McDonald's right. Thing.
I'm just picturing, you know, right afterwards Shlomo going to the yeshiva with a loudspeaker. Chava!
Give up.
It was hard. I legit, like, I know we have listeners in that yeshiva in Muncie for post-Israel guys. Rhymes with Rav Nushard Rice. it was like four guys. Like I don't know. I don't mean to like be, you know, old man yelling at cloud, but in my day, I mean, we never did this. So like a group of Bachram going out to a Milchig restaurant. Sorry. I mean, sorry if I'm not so progressive, you know, like, and today's so, Bachar goes to a Milchig restaurant, but I found it infuriating.
So I have a very interesting question though on that. If a Milchig restaurant has an all you can eat option, is that okay to go into?
No, it's not okay.
But it's all you can eat. Like, if so a guy what? Gets thrown out of a Milchig restaurant for eating too much, does he lose his man card?
I say yesh laden.
Why?
I could hear.
Because it's all you can eat. Why? Because getting thrown out of an all you can eat is like a that's a real that makes one into a gatherer.
So wait, let's workshop this. Like, what's on the all you can eat? Like, penne alla vodka? I'm sorry. Like
anything.
No, that's ridiculous.
I don't think I've never really been to one of these, so I don't really know. I don't know.
Neither. Well, yeah, but you know why? Because you're normal. Like, you're a guy. You don't. Yeah. It's that. In my opinion, that actually makes it worse. Like a group of Bachram, you know, like, so where should we go? Oh, I hear like Milchig restaurant X has an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's like,
I mean, I feel like people did that. I feel like Ramon had something like this in Israel, but it was, I never did it. It also might have been because it was really early in the morning and there was no chance I was ever getting up that early. But I don't know. I mean, I did the Fleishig all-you-can-eat.
Yeah, that's okay. I've done that also, but I'm sorry. Like. Okay. In a Milchig restaurant, I don't know. Whatever. That's my menu update. It was very bothered. Like I was legit bothered.
We realized that it bothered you.
Yeah.
I think everyone who's listening to this realizes that it bothers you.
You know what? You know what? Just one second. You know, we have. Yeah, I'm just saying. If you're a listener, if your son, if you let's say you have a parent of someone. Again, I'm not naming the yeshiva rhymes with Rav Nasher Rice, but I'm just saying, like, if you have. A son in that yeshiva, maybe give him a call, see where he's been the last few days. You know, if he's been to like unsavory areas, like who cares? That's not the point. I'm saying the point is ask him if he's been to a Milchig restaurant recently. Yeah,
Shlomo's starting a new campaign where it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Do you know if your son's in a Milchig restaurant?
Yeah, donate to my charity. Link, raise it.
Still ice private. Cream on my keyboard, whatever.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I don't mean to take too much time. Go.
No, yeah, so my minion update is I realize that this is just both of us just continuing to rail on stuff that we've hated in the past. But I really hate small Sefer Torah. I had to lane from one recently. It was like the size of one of those, like the little kid Sefer Torah on
Simchas Torah. Yeah.
Simchas Torah. It's like my face was like inside the Sefer Torah and I still couldn't read it. It was a disaster. But
yeah.
Another thing is that people, I feel like we've also discussed this before. This is really just, but I don't know if we discussed
season 3, fresh content.
But like people need to realize that most people open their WhatsApp statuses in the bathroom. Like it's a problem. Like you can't be posting like Tehillim or Torah.
Right.
Like you just can't.
Right. Right,
it's just not something you can do, and it's a huge problem. And I can't be the only one that has this problem. We have to. Maybe we should raise awareness for it, like we did with. What did we raise awareness for?
I don't know. Hamelach HaMishpat.
Yeah.
Check your
litvish.
Yeah.
Right.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. It's been a while. It is an issue. Hang on, Joe. Just 1 second. Have any of you made the mistake of saying a kapitel tillim in the bathroom? Because like or clicking a WhatsApp status, because I've made that mistake.
Clicking the WhatsApp status, yes. I've never actually said it, but I was like about to. You know what I'm saying?
I don't usually say it even when I'm out in the bathroom, so no, I didn't. I never made that mistake.
Have you ever?
Sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
What was you know? This is actually a really good question. Sorry, Joseph, before you go.
Yeah.
When was the first time that you didn't forward the Mass Tehillim text that you were supposed to forward to five people? Please don't break the chain. What was the first time?
I got it.
I've never ever done that.
Yeah. Never
oh, come
did
on.
It.
No, I'm sorry. No. I don't buy it. Never when you first got your phone, you forwarded it.
No, I didn't get a cell phone until much later than most people.
The only one I ever did Actually, you're right. When I first got a smartphone, the first WhatsApp one that I got, I forwarded and then immediately received an angry reply from someone. So I never used it again.
I love it. Please don't text me about someone else's sorrow and pain and suffering. You are clogging up my inbox. You've probably taken up 0.00001. I don't know, whatever the size is, not megabyte. What's the one below it?
A bit? I don't know.
I don't
know. It's a bit smaller than a byte.
I don't know. Depends if it's an underbyte. Okay, Joe, go. You go.
Anyhow, mine is... So you know how YouTube has gotten very cocky with the ads, right? That they'll have like a 10-second ad and then another 5-second ad that you can skip.
Or like the 30-second ads.
Right. I feel like Tadaka organizations have gotten that kind of aggressive and that kind of cocky. So I made a donation, not to brag. I made a donation to a certain Tadaka organization. And I think in the past 10 days, I've gotten double-digit texts and emails from them, right? Now, I'll get something, let's say, from, like, everybody that does, like, Romare Bolognese, right? So you'll get it once a month or something like that. You'll get something from them. But this organization sent me, I think, somewhere in the range of 7 or 8 texts about their one of their events that was going live on something. And they just kept telling me. And I didn't donate by text. I didn't donate by email. I donated in person, but they were getting very, very cocky. And
wow, big Tadaka is tracking and listening in on conversations.
So, hold on, so I'm not done yet. So I thought, like, okay, that's the end.
He's not done yet.
Right? Then I come home twice in the past 2 weeks. I've gotten mail from them also. So, like, they're not just doing the digital portion.
This sound like those ads that you get on your phone after you Google something.
I was just going to say, I think it's time we as a From Society had a discussion about Big Tadaka and its eavesdropping on our daily lives.
That actually reminds me, I just renamed my fantasy baseball team Anderson Windows and Doors because I have Tim Anderson and I started getting ads for Anderson.
Nobody
Windows
cares about your fantasy
everywhere.
Team. Sorry to steal from part of my take.
But yeah, they're getting really, really aggressive. I get phone calls now. I spoke to the person who was collecting for that organization.
Do we want to put this organization on blast? Which one was it?
I don't do it, but
I don't think we should do
it.
This is how we do it. We put them on blast and then say, do you want to be a sponsor? And we'll hold it over their heads like blackmail.
Right. This clip is going live. That seems like a great idea.
Yeah, they have deep pockets. Either that or they're just going to send out their minions to post in their status 800 times. Probably. It's getting out of hand.
They say all press is good press, though. So, I mean, if we...
Well, I mean...
I mean, not all press.
Right.
Not all of it.
Right. Yeah.
But anyhow, yeah, that's my minion.
It is a problem, but some of it doesn't make sense because you had to have some sort of digital footprint.
No, I donated in person.
You probably did something else. I don't know.
I may have given my phone number, but they got my email address. They got my address. I mean, it was
interesting.
And it wasn't like it was, oh, thank you for your donation or something like that, or here's a campaign we're doing. It's like, going live now! You know, it's very aggressive and very in your face.
Right. I actually started getting emails about a campaign. Maybe it's the same one. Maybe we're talking about the same one. Remember the food pickups and everything like that? So I haven't gotten a box since August of last year. I stopped going. But I'm still getting emails like... from like these their campaigns and everything from the yeshiva that was like where the food box was. I mean, whatever, our Muncie listeners will know where this is, but like it's a little bizarre because it's like, yeah, I all I did was just like use your driveway. Like, why am I indebted to
government?
Like,
you government didn't,
the actual yeshiva didn't give the food. Like, I didn't get the food from you. I literally just used your driveway. Like, what actually debt do I owe you?
You know what this reminds me? I don't know why. I guess maybe it's a Tadaka connection, but there's a guy outside of Gourmet Gla who he collects Tadaka, and every Friday when you walk by him, if you give him something, he tells you, oh, good Shabbos, good Chodesh. Like, no matter what.
Really? Like, even if it's like Erev Rosh Chodesh?
Well, meaning even if it's not Erev Rosh Chodesh.
Right,
like, even if
it's just in the middle of the month.
Even if it's just like in the middle of the month.
I mean,
like, I'm not really sure why.
I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah, like you could have a good month.
Yeah, you'll take it.
Actually, you know, I think I know why, because you know how the I don't know if it's a Gemara, I can't remember offhand if it's Gemara, Chazal, whatever it is. Like if someone says, you know, a greeting, extends a greeting, you're supposed to like one up the greeting. That's where all the keeping up with the Joneses and one upping each other came from. Like if someone says good
everywhere.
Good. He's still on this strawberry ice cream.
It's everywhere.
He eats a strawberry ice cream, calls it the best, eats it with a fork, and then spills it everywhere.
I already told you I don't have a dairy spoon. Whatever. But
yes. Oh, yeah. So what I was saying is that basically he's like putting all his chips in the middle. Like if he says good Shabbos, so you're supposed to say, you know, good Shabbos and good Chodesh, right? So basically he's just forcing you to up your ante. And you know what you should do next time, like he says that to you, just say like, in the next Chodesh or Agatiyud, you know, like start upping it like Agatiyovil. Just cover yourself for the next 50 years.
But you know what's really annoying? Saying Lam Netzeach accidentally on Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah.
Because you're just, because every time I feel like when I get up to it, I'm just wanting to not say it. And then every Rosh Chodesh I forget, and I'm either like halfway through or finished with it, I'm like, oh.
Yes, that and saying Mizmor L'Saidon Erev Pesach.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's annoying.
That's the kind of thing you'll only notice when you have the time to read through the Hebrew, you know, and read and translate the Hebrew by Mizmor L'Saidon, because you're not going to remember during davening itself.
It's the same thing. Like it all goes together because, like, you know, we've spoken very candidly about the fact that none of us remember HaMelech HaMishpat ever, right? And it's the same time period, right, where you always remember Mizmor L'Saidon, even like when you're not supposed to say it. Right. It's weird. It's weird like that.
Do you think anyone like ever in the history of the world has ever said the Rosh Chodesh edition to Al Mechia? Like,
no.
Just I'm talking about like in a regular Rosh Chodesh, like not like Shabbos, where you like maybe some people say it on Shabbos. I feel like 99% of people don't even say it on Shabbos. But like if you're gonna say it on Shabbos, maybe you'll remember if it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Like on a regular weekday Rosh Chodesh, like I don't think anyone ever has said it. Right.
So I want to take that question and bump it up a little bit. Do you think anyone in the history of Yiddishkeit has ever had a perfect year where they've nailed every Yalvi?
No, of course not. It's ridiculous.
Do you think that's possible?
Yosef, we just established that nobody's even ever said the Alamich.
I'm saying like these Joel, super Jews, you know?
Okay, but Joel, let me ask you straight up. If someone said to you that they remembered every Yalvi of a, whether it's davening or benching, I'm not even going to say Alamichia. Like, forget it. Alamichia, forget about it. Like, no one has ever said it. I don't even know what it is. What is it? Like,
I have no idea.
Like, I have no idea what it is.
I would be very skeptical, but there are a lot of
Of course,
Jews
you would never trust
the
guy. Okay, let's play a hypothetical. Guy comes over to you, potential business deal, right? And somehow in the conversation, he mentions that he hit every Yalvi of it that year. Are you signing a contract with that guy? No way. No way. This guy is a liar. He's a straight-up liar. He's duplicitous. He'll backstab you.
Over the entire history of Jews, though, you don't think there was one perfect season?
No.
No.
And Moshe Rabbeinu himself told me that he said every Alvi Yavai, I'd say he's a liar. Sorry.
What if we limit it to davening things? Meaning just davening related.
Yosef, forget about like everything, all whatever you're going to say. I don't even think that there's someone who ever remembered like all of the Alvi Yavos. Like, I think maybe it's possible,
I disagree. If you want to tell me something
Yalvi Yavo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Yosef, how could you even ask this question?
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
even having this discussion is insane.
I think that it's definitely possible.
I think you're insane.
I agree with you. A perfect year is crazy, right? But hitting every Alvi of it over the course of a year, I don't think that's
so
crazy.
That might have happened.
Okay, now let's extrapolate. How far can we push this envelope? Right? Let's say every HaMelech HaKadosh. Add that to the list.
I don't think
okay,
so.
Maybe, because you have to repeat it. Maybe.
I want to see how far we can push this. So,
everyone, by the way, HaMelech HaMishpat gets all the hate. That Micha Micha, that's the one that's
I
really.
I feel like I remember those more than HaMelech HaMishpat. Like I've had years when I've remembered those a good amount of time. Like
yeah,
until we started our whole HaMelech HaMishpat thing, I don't think I ever said it.
You always remember after you finish the broccoli. Nobody ever remembers.
Oh, actually, it's coming up soon, but like Nachem.
Oh, yeah, that's also another one. Because, like, how am I supposed to remember it? I know it's only once a year, and you try to say it, but, like,
well, that's
it's,
the art
in,
scroll,
it's in,
the
like,
art
a random bracha in the middle.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I guess if I would use one of those, there's probably
a much those are huge.
Chance.
Right, because even if you didn't realize that you said it, you were just scanning the page anyway, so, like...
No, you can't forget that you said that, though. You know if you said Nachem.
No, I'm saying if you use the art scroll Kinnis, right?
Yeah.
So usually your mind's on autopilot at that point in Shemana Esrei. So even if you don't, if you just
by
scan
Mincha already, by Mincha, you're already like, you have a redo, whatever.
You're already also you're thinking like, oh, am I going to the Chafetz Chaim Heritage video? Am I doing that?
And the answer is that is never something that I've ever thought.
It depends on when you daven Mincha, because if you daven Mincha, if you're davening at the late Mincha, you're already completely checked out. So,
well, you're also a psycho. We've covered this before, but you're also a psychopath if you daven at the later mincha. You probably are the type of person if you're davening at the later mincha on Tisha B'Av that claims that they said every yalvi of it during the year.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think that's a good bow on that discussion.
You know another thing that I noticed? My neighbor has a basketball hoop,
right?
And it's made the
very observant of you.
It says Goliath Glass on it. Apparently that's the company. It's like I was sitting in my backyard one day looking at him, just thinking like, is that really the name that you want to call your glass? Like, if you throw a pebble at it, it'll break.
Too can be Daryl Dawkins.
Did someone not know the history, or did it just sound good or they didn't think about it, or they just hope nobody else would notice that?
That would be actually a great ego booster if you had a company of backboards that just shattered every time, like like a 7-foot hoop, and everybody thought that they were Shaq or Daryl Dawkins or whatever. And call it Goliath.
And they complain, just say, I guess you're really strong. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Actually, that's a great company regardless. Like, it's just a company dedicated to products that boost people's egos.
It's like those breakable chairs in the movies.
Yeah, right. The sugar glass bottles.
Yeah, so it makes people, whatever it is, whether it's a strength or looks or whatever. We're cooking now.
Yeah, we're gonna have to brainstorm this later when we're
brainstorming
how we're gonna get listeners on the podcast.
Send in your application.
Don't send them. I'm not going to read them.
Someone's going to take the cut of that audio and play it underneath the audio for the rest of the podcast. The subliminal.
Yeah.
But all these items are going to be available on backoftheshul.store.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to buy that before someone
else. Oh, no. Yeah, someone else might take it. And
we'll just get like dot blogspot. I remember, by now I think they all still haven't, but like all the, you know, a blog is a from blog if it has like dot blogspot or like dot blogger.com, like, you know, that's only the from blog still have that. Like, what were some of the popular ones?
Like Juiced Up.
Be quiet.
Are you talking about like Failed Messiah and whatever?
That was TypePad. That was TypePad. No, the fringy ones were TypePad, like Failed Messiah. But I don't know. Okay, whoever's listening, the listeners, please refresh my memory. I think there was like the middle way. What was it called? Cross Currents. Cross Currents was one.
There's one that my friend says that all the wives use. I can't remember what it's called.
I'm a mother or I'm a mother. It's a good chat because it's I am a mother.
Is that? I only saw it typed out.
Yeah, it could be. And that's the thing.
Is it supposed to be both?
That's the puzzle. I knew that's what you were thinking. That's the puzzle. Okay, How I Met Your Mother. Okay, yeah.
So for anyone who was in the SIFTA from 20...
In the mid-aughts or late 2010, or early 2010s, so that's always the debate. I'm a mother, I'm a mother. To our female listeners, let us know which one it is. By the way, they can only let us know by typing it out. So
we're still doesn't help at all.
Well, no, in WhatsApp they can send voice notes.
Send in your application to our WhatsApp.
Don't send in your application.
Okay, yeah. Before we get to the Mizrachvant, our Mizrachvant today, by the way, is a Mizrachvant of Jewish accomplishments. But I had
having a third season of a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Like, big accomplishment, Chazaka. Chazaka.
Huge. But tell me, you realize that means you can never give it up now.
Yeah, I guess not. Joe, is one of your kids up?
No, that's not me.
Someone's music is playing.
Yeah, that's not coming from me.
I don't know.
I'm not going to see your neighbors again.
Well, Yosef, can you hear anything?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Menachem, maybe turn off that Lil Nas X.
Maybe my roommate's playing something. I don't know if you can hear that. I don't know.
Oh yeah, it's probably
maybe he's watching like sports.
After Yachmiel Begun sends the cease and desist, we'll use whatever he's playing. I had a couple of Shemoneh Esrei thoughts. Now, since we've been gone for 3 months, I probably have a few hundred Shemoneh Esrei thoughts, but I'll limit it to just a couple.
Oh, I also have a Shemoneh Esrei thought.
But yeah, so one of them. Okay, which one should I start with? I wrote a couple of them down. Okay, you ever think that any of the Kailim that are part of Adopt a Kailil ever have that identity crisis or whatever? Like they have a thing like, "You're not my real dad." You know, type of moment, like for the Gvirim that or the Kailis that adopted.
You're not my real race, Kylo.
I don't know. I was just thinking of that.
I feel like there's a
yes.
Whole
I started genre. Laughing during Shemoneh Esrei. Sue me, okay?
There's a whole genre of adopt Kylo jokes that I think could be put at play there.
Okay, and another one. Okay, I have two more.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Okay. Another
is
one is
thought or Shemoneh Esrei.
Yeah, Shemoneh Esrei thoughts. I guess it was a very productive Shemoneh Esrei. I guess the second one is, and for Hasidish listeners, do Hasidim eat meatballs?
Yes.
Why wouldn't they?
I feel like
meatballs?
It's a very Litvish or like American thing. Like it's a very unheimish thing. Meatballs. Do Hasidim eat meatballs?
I can confirm.
Okay.
I was in Mechels in Muncie, and I saw Hasidim ordering meatballs.
Okay. All right.
Sure.
Hasidish well, listeners, send in your application to the WhatsApp, and also tell us if you eat meatballs.
Stop saying that.
Yeah. Okay. And the third thing that I had is, I think this is brilliant. And full disclosure, we have discussed this, you know, off air before. But because of the prevalence and popularity of all these charity Raise It, Drive Up, Sky Mall, whatever these fundraising campaigns, what if there was a Raise It or charity subscription service where with different tiers? So like where you pay a certain amount a month, and your name is on every campaign, and they can't bother you anymore. Like you don't get any emails, you don't get any texts, you don't get anything. And like you could like block the status, and your name is already there. So let's say like $18 a month, you're on three campaigns or five campaigns, you know, $72 you're on 10, and $100 a month you're on 180 you're on like all of them, and you never have to be bothered with these status updates or emails ever again.
So right, you mean, like you're just ignoring like all of the logistics of this. You're just saying like just as an idea.
Don't get bothered with details. Don't bother me with details. First, we have to figure out how we're getting the listeners on the show.
Our intern will take care of it.
I'm just saying, like, imagine.
I mean, in theory, yes, it's a nice idea.
I think it would be great. Someone has to do this already. Like, super Raise It or Raise Them or I don't know whatever. Raise your kids. I don't know whatever. I don't know whatever it is. But I think it would be great, like just to never. How much would you pay to never have to be bothered with a Raise It or charity campaign again?
In theory, probably a lot. But
just this week, I we've mentioned this before, but like just this week, 11 campaigns, 11 charity Raise It, Drive Up, Markup, whatever it is, campaigns.
But the thing is, I mean, you could just ignore them. You know, it's not.
You can't ignore them. You can't ignore them. You're dedicating time. You close the bathroom door. You lock it. You go to your WhatsApp status. You open up the Tehillim. You accidentally say it. And then you go to the next one. And then someone with their stupid, you know, Raise It campaigns or Drive Up if I donated to your campaign, it wasn't stupid. I appreciated it. It was near and dear to my heart. But I'm just saying, like, I would pay. I'm saying if I had to, like, I feel pressure to give. Like, okay, you're building a shul. You're building a new toilet. You need, like, whatever it is. I'm saying, like, everybody just puts up a charity or raise a campaign. I would probably pay a decent amount. Probably, I don't know if I would take the gold tier, the Gvir tier. Hey, it rhymes. The Gvir tier. But I would probably do like 72 a month to get at least on like 12 campaigns.
I have the most important question on it though. Forget about the logistics. Can you use Micer money to pay for this thing that prevents you from?
Very good question. I would say yes.
I would say probably not.
But it's going to Tzedakah. I mean,
Menachem, you know what? Check your lit fish. Is it?
I guess it's a fair question. Is it?
Yeah, I think.
I would say probably not.
Well, I mean, the problem is that if someone's saying he would pay 72, I mean, you do the math on how many campaigns that actually donates to.
Whatever, that's irrelevant. The point is,
if it's under 18, you may as well not put your name on the donation, right? Because the number comes
no,
up
but
with
that's
it.
The whole point. Okay, but that's like anything: Spotify, Netflix. Okay, Spotify, right? Let's just say Spotify for a second, right? Are you? Let's say you didn't have a Spotify subscription. Are you buying $10 worth of music a month? No, but the point is, once you're paying that $9.99 a month, you're getting way more than $9.99 worth of music. So the same thing. Am I giving $72 a month to charity campaigns?
What you're saying is
because there's so many of them. But I'm just saying, like,
so you're saying it just shows up. It shows up with what amount? Or is the amount that it shows up with depend on how much money
you
pay?
We've already established that the logistics are not being worked out. This is just...
Well, no, I'm trying to answer the question of, would I use it.
I think that's a good point. I think it's part of like the package, meaning that would also increase the dollar amount. So like, let's say if you gave whatever the unlimited campaigns tier is, right, where your name shows up in unlimited tiers, like it also, even within that, if let's say you give, you know, 180 a month, it shows up as 36, right? If you
so
give 360,
you
right. But even if you give 360, it shows up that you're like 72 to that campaign. There. And it goes up, more and more. And there's also, it opens it up to like corporate accounts, right? You know, for the whole corporate. Like, I think this is genius. I personally think this is genius.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Okay. Everybody else. Shmona Esrei thoughts if you had.
Oh yeah. Okay. So mine isn't really a Shmona Esrei thought. I mean, I guess you'll see in a second when it was in Davening.
Menachem, tell your roommate to lower the music. It's really loud. I'm kidding.
I don't even think it's music. I think he's like watching sports highlights or something. But what was it? Oh yeah. So I'm sure many people have thought about this. Like when you're saying Aikiko, hey, I'm Elilim, and then just want to make sure you don't say Elilim and Hashem too close together. So I feel like that's just one of those things that people just stress about a lot for no reason. So
yeah,
when I was thinking about that, I was just trying to think of other things in Judaism that we just stress about for no reason. I was thinking, I don't know if this is just me, but do you ever just worry that you're going to put on your Shel Rosh accidentally before your Shel Yad?
Yes. Not even just putting it on, take it out first.
Right. Like, then it's so irrational and I never do it, but it's just something that every once in a while just pops up in my head and I get stressed out about it for no reason.
Yeah.
It just doesn't 100%. Make sense.
Very good call. Yeah. 100%.
And I feel like there's so many of them, like, not like every, like hearing every single word of Parsha Zohar, or like, or but this is just,
or the Megillah. Yeah. I guess it's what it goes to. Good. Yeah.
The Megillah is a little bit less younger because it's so long, but.
Did you ever have the one when you're younger and you're the kid who holds like the second Sefer Torah for davening, like for laning?
Yeah.
And you're just worried that your arms are just going to stop working and the Sefer Torah is going to fall out
or
of
your hands? Yeah, if I get Hagba, like, yeah, it just, I'll tell you,
did,
I personally.
Wait 1 second. Did you guys ever practice before you did Hagba the first time?
Never.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay, that means Menachem did.
Just testing the waters here, but guess I'm the only one.
Yeah, you totally didn't either, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's good. Me neither.
Yeah, me, totally.
Yeah, doing like kettlebell squats and
weirdos. Who does that?
I'll tell you something that
me and my friend, we were like rolling the Sefer Torah once to like get it to the spot. We're like, we should just practice Hagbanat. Okay, so we did. Like, okay, I guess we could do it now. That was back when Sefer Torah were big and men were
bigger. Yeah, exactly. Good callback. I'll tell you something that I stress about very irrationally. Psicha. I just like, it's going to fall out. The guy before didn't put the chain back.
Okay,
it's not
that.
Holding.
I've never thought about, but now I probably
now I am.
Why would you even say that?
It's always in my head. It's like, okay, number one, okay, do they do like the drawstring? Like, right. and is
that
it like,
I think we've spoken about, but like just not knowing how to do psicha in a different shul.
Right, yeah, we have spoken about like, yeah, I've always analogized
like, I've never thought about the Sefer Torah falling out.
It's always, I'm petrified. And also when I put it back, also like, okay, I did it, but like, did I do it enough? Like,
Shlomo,
you know what,
why
you know,
are you doing this to me?
Because you know what? Because misery loves company. And I'm telling you, if I got psicha by Shachar's and I go back to that shul like for mincha, I'm convinced. I am convinced that all the Sifrei Torah, even the ones that I didn't take out, are going to come falling out like on a conveyor belt. Like I'm convinced of it. Like I'm telling you, honest to God, like I'm always nervous. Like when the guy closes the Aaron, like and they're bringing the Sifrei Torah, like I exhale, just like, oh, thank God. Like. Now it's his problem.
This has never even been something that has even come.
Well, now you will. Now you are going to worry about it.
I know I will. It's your fault.
Yeah, misery loves company.
There is another one though that I think this is just specifically me and specifically the shul that I daven in. Like, I'm sure even no one else in the shul this bothers, but there's two tzedakah boxes that they go around with. One says tzedakah. One says bedek habayis. Like, right. If I'm giving a dollar, like, I'm not giving $2. I'm not giving to both of them.
Right.
And I'm not going to, like, put a dollar in one and, like, take out 50 cents and put in the other one.
Right.
So I try to, like, keep a mental cheshbon in my mind of the one I did last time. I'm like, okay, I did that one last time. Then this time, that stresses me out every time because I have to think about it. And then what I've started recently doing is just putting it in the one that's closer to me when the guy's holding it. Like, right. It's not always, sometimes I have to think about that. Like, is that one closer? It's just, right. It's been something that's been stressing me out a lot recently, and I don't really know what to do.
I think what you have to do is you have to do the Shlomo Mel situation and offer to cut the dollar in half. And then whichever tzedakah box says, you know, no, let the other one have it. That's the real one that you're supposed to give.
Exactly.
That sounds like a great idea.
It's by the way, that distinction, because like, yeah, I mean, I daven usually at Shiner's, so like they have the same type of setup. So where it's like, it's always the dichotomy between the two, like pushkas is hilarious to me. It's like the first one is like aniye ircha yisaimim whatever, blah, 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 and like. Bedek habayis, like, okay, worthy cause and probably going for toilet paper.
Oh, by the way, I forgot what, like, one of the reasons why I was thinking of the Shel Rosh thing also is because I had a dream that I put on my Shel Rosh before. I was like freaking out that I woke up. I was like, is this really what I'm having nightmares about? What is going on?
Well, when they write your biography, they're going to be like, Menachem was sleeping one time.
Right. He woke up in a cold sweat.
It's like, it's you're joking, but it's kind of true. Like, right. I was like, oh.
Well, it happens to me that leads very nicely into the only real Shemoneh Esrei thought that I ever had. I got to davening very late, meaning one time in the past 3 months. And I was in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. While I guess someone was leaving early or something like that. And I saw the guy turn to the guy next to him. One guy's wrapping his tefillin. The other guy turns to him to talk, and he moves the Shel Rosh to the side and then starts talking and then puts the Shel Rosh back to continue davening. I was like, I don't think that counts as not talking in your tefillin. Does that count?
Technically, you're not wearing it.
But...
I remember when I was in high school, my Rebbe like took me out in the middle of davening, and he like told me to like take off my Shel Rosh so that he could talk to me.
Okay, that sentence could have ended very differently. And
but in that case, I like took it off and moved it to the side. But you wanted to take.
I know
away
you. The, I noticed you weren't stressing about that type of scenario. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I don't know why it had to be in the middle of davening either, but whatever.
God, this is just I
wasn't even listening to what you just said. I just heard you, Rebby, took you out and told you to take off, and that's all I heard.
Okay.
Touched by a Rebby 4.
And should we get into the Mizrachbant?
All right, let's do a hard transition into the Mizrachbant. So because we're starting season 3 of the Back of the Shul podcast, you know, it's a monumental accomplishment, momentous, monumental. Which one is it, momentous or monumental, or both?
Both.
Both?
Sure. I mean, sure. It could be momentous and monumental.
Right. Whatever it is. So, yeah, we were doing the Mizrachbant of Jewish accomplishments, you know, which I think is pretty self-explanatory. I'm not sure why we...
I mean, I just think we should just never explain it and just...
Yeah,
it is what it is, and that's it.
Right. That's true.
Jewish accomplishments. That's
exactly. Okay, which one of you is going to be the record keeper? Actually, you know what? Hold on. Wait, one second. Hold on.
I know I didn't go first on the last one.
Oh, Menachem, you're supposed to be the official score.
Yeah, one second. The last one was me, Shlomo, Yosef. That means this one should be Shlomo, Yosef, me, I think, if that's how we were doing it.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Works for me.
Fine. So I'll go first, as we have just established. Let's see. There's so many good ones. All right, I'm gonna go with a straightforward one. I know I usually do off the beaten path ones, and trust me, I have. I'll go with an easy one: finishing Shas.
Ah, that's got to be the number one.
Yeah, I think it's.
And by the way, finishing Shas multiple times, but the undefined number of multiple.
Yes,
times.
Very. Yes, exactly. Huge. I was gonna get to that. Yeah,
and yeah. Also, you've made sure that nobody can pick making a CM.
Oh yeah, no, that's a box.
Yeah, but I think I think it's a fair pick. I don't think that was like taking another one away.
Yeah,
this is like the peak of making a CM.
I understand. I feel like the pick could have been like making a CM, just like in the next level, finishing Shas. Like it's a smaller accomplishment than a bigger accomplishment.
Right. I mean, right. I think you know, adjacent to it would be someone, the guy who always makes the CM in the 9 days. You know, like that would be a subset. That would be a subset of it, you know.
Making a CM, always the guy who always makes a CM on Erev Pesach. Right. Which, by the way, is the biggest cop-out of all time because, like, you don't have to give anything. It's like macaroons. The guy who does the 9 days, like, first of all, everybody loves him because, you know, it's the 9 days and he's doing a Fleishik CM and does a whole gala barbecue and whatever. And this guy, yeah, I guess the Bechayrim, like Menachem and I, like, we love him. But like,
I have a Bechayr. I have to fast now.
Oh, that's true. Still, your macaroons suck. Okay, yeah, keep going.
Okay, so mine is going to be being honored at a dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny because this could apply in the non-Jewish world as well, but let's be real. It's only an accomplishment in the Jewish world.
Right. And also, I mean, I think there's a caveat like to that. You have to introduce your speech by the dinner as saying like, I wasn't going to accept it. Like, you know,
I didn't really want to accept it.
It's not really yes. It's not me.
They asked me again and again, and I had to say yes. You could give the classic. They first asked the smartest guy they knew. They asked the most respected guy they knew. Yeah. Then they asked me, and I said, you asked me 3 times. Yeah. No one's ever said that one before.
Right.
Very good. Okay, that was a good pick. All right, Menachem.
All right. So my first pick is going to be being ready early for Shabbos. Like, not like being ready on time, like actually taking a shower, getting dressed, doing everything you need to do, and there's still being time before Mincha.
I'm going to take issue with this, because even though it's a great accomplishment, all of these have to be in the realm of possibility. And
well, I was going to say, it's like the white whale of Shabbos prep. Like, it's just...
It's one of those things that we all strive for and probably will never actually accomplish, but it's one of those things that like this is the thing that we're going to try to do, and it probably won't happen. But
the Brisa version of the Mishnah that talks about what the Tanam used to do, the version that didn't make it into the Mishnayos is talking about how he swept the floor and he prepared the candles and he made the fish and they argued about, you know, what time Mincha really is, and they both stressed out, and in the 18 minutes, he was running out with his hair wet, you know.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. All right, second one. My second one is going to be the Iron Dome.
Oh, okay. So I had that on my list also. Okay, we're going like that. Okay, okay, I'm glad you did that because now it gives me an excuse.
Mainstream early.
Yeah.
Someone else takes.
I did find it interesting that you went with Iron Dome rather than the Atom Bomb.
Okay, wait, okay. Joe,
what are you doing?
We all have lists here.
We all have that on our list.
You're really going to pick the Atom Bomb after he picks the Iron Dome? Come on.
It's on the list. I'm not saying I was going to pick it, but it's, yeah. I mean, you don't think we Googled Jewish inventions? Like, yeah, we all did that. All right, Joe, you go. I mean, you can pick Atom Bomb if you want.
Not a fan. I'm going to go with being called an Oscan.
Not bad. Not bad.
It goes a step further than that, though, which is being able to introduce yourself as an Oscan.
Right. I mean, I guess the FJJ kind of diluted the term Oscan, and I'm very happy that they did that. By the way, kudos to the crew there for calling like a bunch of 3-year-olds Oscunnan, because I always get a kick out of it. The joke is still funny.
It's better than, I mean, like, in order to get smicha, you can either learn halachas and take tests, or you can commit a crime, and then the news will then call you Jewish rabbi. You know?
Right. Yeah. Hasidic. I love when they call, everybody's Hasidic. Like, I remember once reading an article, like, Hasidic music superstar Jakob Schwekic. Like, dude, I mean, you got to know some differences between, like, Hasidic and Sephardic and, like, yeah, whatever. Okay, so I got the next two, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll do my off the beaten one. Finding a deal before Dan's deals.
Is that even? This goes back to has to be within the realm of possibility.
No, I've done it. I promise, I've done it. I've done it. There was one like 8 years ago with the flights. It was a massive like Delta glitch or whatever it is, and I found it before Dan's deals.
How could you possibly find
it? It was 7 in the morning. I had off in between. It was like intercession in between fall and spring semester. And I wanted to go with a few friends. We wanted to go away. I found tickets. And at first, I'm like, I'm looking, want to go to LA. And I'm seeing like first class tickets for like $50. And at first, I thought it was, oh, because there's multiple stops, or I don't know. I thought there was like something, whatever it was. And then I saw that it got even cheaper. Like it was like $36 or something like that. It was really cheap. So I told, like, I think it was like 4 of us that wanted to go. I told 2 others, like, give me your info. I'm telling you, like, look at this. I sent them a screenshot. Like, look at this. Like, these tickets are dirt cheap. So I got their info. Meanwhile, we're trying to get like someone else's info, and I keep trying to like call him. I'm texting him nonstop, like blitzing his phone. The other two guys are blitzing his phone also, and he was sleeping the whole time. And I'm like, we got to get this before Dan's deals finds out.
You at least book the first 3.
No, yeah, I did, and I was like, I'm checking Dan's deals, like, please don't get it, please don't find it, please don't find it, and then Dan's deals found it, and blasted it out to everybody, and it went up. I booked the tickets. I got a bill for $5,000 because it was first class, whatever. I got a can, whatever. It was refunded and everything like that. But I did find it before Dan's deals found
it. But it didn't even work though.
Okay, but no, because I couldn't get the guy's info. It was about an hour and a half. This whole thing took about an hour and a half.
Why didn't you book your guy's tickets then?
Because we need to stay at this guy's house. He was the one that lived in LA. We need to stay at his house.
Okay, well,
yeah, I probably should have put in that detail. So finding a deal before Dan's deals is probably the pinnacle of Jewish accomplishments. Going a little bit more mainstream. Okay, so it's a little bit piggybacking off what Menachem said. I think it's a little different though, but you guys will let me know. Not forgetting anything for Shabbos. Like it's a little different.
I know,
like,
what you mean.
Yeah,
it's more of a when you're going away for Shabbos. Right,
yeah. But just like not forgetting anything.
I think that
is actually a really good one.
The way you define it is like you never go through Shabbos with a moment of we forgot the
exactly yeah
right.
Whether you're going away or whether you're home, there's you don't have that moment of like.
By the way, Shlomi, you should expand it. By the way, it shouldn't just be going away for Shabbos. It should be any version of going away.
I'm saying not going away for Shabbos, but like the most common situation is when you go away for Shabbos.
Right. Not right. Okay.
But like just stam, like, oh, I forgot to take this out, or I forgot to set that. You know, just not forgetting anything. For Shabbos.
Right. Yeah. So that's a very good one.
Good one.
So I think this is my favorite one so far, but it's being a big enough person to be able to decline a wedding invitation unless you're the Masada Kedushin.
Wait, explain that.
Being a big enough deal that unless you're the Masada Kedushin, okay. You can decline the wedding invitation.
Shlomo, did you also think he was talking about being fat enough or something?
Yeah, I thought it was a weight thing, and I
realized
yeah.
before you did, but I realized that's what you thought also.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, like, that is
I thought he was going along the lines of like, I'm sorry, I'm too fat, I can't show up to your wedding.
Right, like, the smorg is too tempting, I'm kind of doing keto right now. I guess that doesn't make sense because you could eat, but whatever, okay.
If you can, like,
yeah, I now I understand what you're saying. I get it.
If you can be the guy who's like, yeah, Rebbe, you want to be able to come? I want to give you Kriyas Ksuba. No, sorry.
Anything less than, yeah.
Yeah, anything less than the Seder Kedushin, yeah.
Right. Okay.
All right, Malcolm, you go.
So my third pick is going to be, this is, I guess, would not apply to everyone. But being able to get through a vart without someone saying a mirtzah shem bayuti, so that's nice.
Okay, that's a little niche.
I know. Yeah. It's more. It doesn't apply to everyone.
But you know what, Shlomo? It's a huge accomplishment.
Right.
It is.
You know, think about the logistics of what it would take to get through an entire vart without someone saying that.
Right.
Okay, and then my last pick is going to be 5 minute Marav.
I mean, it happens to be Menachem. You're talking to people who daven for a while at a shul where it was 13-minute mental ma'ariv. Or
no, 14. No, it's not routinely, not routinely, but it's been done. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, Joe, last one.
They do the hechi ma'ariv, you know. Last one. I'm gonna go with one that I like, which is being the closer for Musaf. You know, when davening took a really long time and everybody immediately turns to you and be like, all right, come on, get us out of here quickly.
Right. I think we did that with Shul Thrills or something like that. But yeah, yeah.
It's an accomplishment. You mean you have to build enough of a rep to get to the point where everybody turns to you, you know?
So, right. Okay, so my last one, I honestly can't believe it hasn't been said, but 49 for 49.
That I was gonna say that.
It was on
that
my
was
list,
one of my honorable mentions. But
I'll tell you, the thing is, with the proliferation of the statuses and all that stuff,
yeah, the accomplishment
it's
has been
much
has,
easier.
It definitely has gotten a lot easier. That was really my thought in not saying it, as that
right,
like it's
nowadays,
been diluted. It's like triple doubles. Like
nowadays,
everyone's doing it now.
Nowadays, the hardest one is like the second night of Sfira.
Well, any show, no, but
one.
Still every Friday
every,
night. Is
every
hard.
Friday night is really hard, but that's right. Like Friday nights are really the only hard nights at this point.
Yeah, and then you could just say the next night that, oh, I really remembered before Mencho.
Yeah.
Who's going to call me out?
Which, by the way, would be another phenomenal Mizrofant, which would be the Mizrofant of Myra Hethers.
That's very good. Okay, so honorable mentions. I'll just do it just because we'll go in order.
Yeah, you go in order.
Okay, yeah, so I guess kind of related to the Sfira thing, staying up Shavuos night, which, by the way, as I get older, is that much more of an accomplishment. Putting up a sukkah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
By the way, and putting up a sukkah with no help, that's got to be number. That's got to be huge.
Then you're just a show-off. Like, you're just a show-off. I'm sorry.
By the way, just going back to the Shavuos night thing, do you feel guilty if you don't stay up?
No, I didn't stay up this year. I don't feel a shred of guilt.
Okay, I was just curious.
Google, people forget, was invented by Jews.
Waze.
Yeah, Waze.
Waze, right.
It's about, yeah. Yes, yeah.
What was that thing that the microchip or something that the Israelis did?
IBM, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Hitting your raise it or charity goal. just based on the graphics that I see in people's statuses, I guess it's a big deal. Although having worked on charity campaigns, I could tell you not as big of a deal as you think.
or just keep moving the
lot of manipulation behind the scenes. Okay, yeah. Turning over your kitchen for Pesach.
I mean, getting just overall, like cleaning the house for Pesach.
Right. Yeah, that's true. getting to a Brooklyn wedding in time for the Schmorg. And I'm not even a big Schmorg guy, but if you got in time for the Schmorg, like,
and
that was
way,
an accomplishment.
You could be living in Brooklyn, and it's still an
accomplishment. Yeah. By the way, I used to live in Brooklyn. Like, it's still an accomplishment.
It goes hand to hand with, I mean, this, well, something, forget the first part of what I said, if you need it, you want to get there in time, like towards the end, where you're there with enough time to eat something, but not enough time where you're just standing around awkwardly. So
that's any wedding, but that part
goes hand in hand with getting to Shul, like right before Baruch Hu.
Right, the sweet spot. Yeah. My last two, having a unique perm theme. That's an accomplishment. The last one, this is just for guys, but every guy over the edge of bar mitzvah is going to appreciate this. Nailing that shell rush placement, like the perfect square between the eyes. Like when you nail that, it's like there's nothing you can't do. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go next. I have being the guy who takes either Kalim or Kufiyat Tess when people are learning either Mishnayos or saying Tehillim.
That's a flex,
hosting the parlor meeting. having a multiple adjective introduction, like not harav hagoyin, you know, that's a Rebbe card or picture that people hang on the wall. Being the guy that Masifta guys talk about, whether in sports or learning or money,
right.
Being the guy
that's like the Mizrach band of rock stars that I want to do.
being the get back guy at Chasanos. You know, who makes sure that the circle continues, being the puts the chassid on the shoulders guy.
By the introduction,
when they come in, nailing a haftarah, and my favorite one, which is nailing the tefillin wrap by like Rosh Chodesh, where you beat the chassid.
That's a very good one.
Good pulls. Okay. Good pulls.
You guys took a lot of mine. Right. Some were pretty close to mine.
All Malcolm has left is like genetic engineering, getting stuff on sale.
But
surgeon.
I
thought you were gonna say one mine that was very similar, but laning a parsha like after your bar mitzvah, like aside from your bar mitzvah parsha, like laning another parsha after that. Actually not listening to music for the entire sphera. Like learning for a half an hour without Batala. Again, like we understand it has to be within the realm of possibility, but it's something to like think that maybe. Is that it? Yeah, I think that's it.
And the atom bomb.
Right. And of course, all three of us had atomic bomb written down. But
we could the theory of relativity rather than the atom bomb.
I get.
Right. Yeah, there were a few. You did the one of your picks, right, was the without the Amir Tashem by you. So like there are a few of those, like in terms of like the responses or like the sayings, like getting through I'm trying to think of like the social scenario where someone says a vart and like I had that thought also. Like I had that question also, you know, like like getting through something like.
There's also a bunch of variations of like nailing something, like nailing a hagba, nailing hataras nadarim perfectly, like no, like stumbling over the words,
nailing the siyum, the whole
right, the kaddish after the siyum. Like there's a lot of variations of this, but,
right? Yeah. No, that the hataras nadarim, like kilu hayisi fartum, mic drop. Yeah. Okay. So these are all good. Send us in anything that we missed. Wow, it is really late. We were recording this very late on a Motzei Shabbos. I think that's everything. So yeah, like we said at the beginning, we will be having listeners on. That part is serious. The sending in applications to the WhatsApp.
That's not.
I'm not saying like it's not serious. I'm not saying that it's serious. I'm just saying like I'm just leaving it up there.
Also, not serious is
send in a video application, preferably.
Ice cream being the best ice cream.
Wait, sorry, what, Joe? What?
Also, not serious is strawberry ice cream being the best ice cream.
Oh, that was very serious.
I just want to make that abundantly clear.
Was that? Did we even say? Did we say that? Like after the part we cut?
I don't even
just
know.
To recap, Monophlum 8, strawberry ice cream, said it's the best ice cream and ate it with a fork. Okay, no, good. Now we're covered.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, yeah. So
we still don't know how we're going to get people.
Yeah, I mean, we'll...
On the pod.
Either we'll post it in the WhatsApp or we'll release like just a short audio clip on how to do it, or we'll send out an email but to all our subscribers.
Basically, everyone just... basically, everyone just apply to the WhatsApp status so that if we want to say something, you'll get it. I mean,
yes.
We'll post a link in
right.
the
at a minimum
episode
at a minimum,
to whatever.
Be part of the WhatsApp group, so that way you'll...
Yes, being a Twitter follower is not enough. You must be a Twitter follower, Instagram follower, WhatsApp subscriber.
Like and subscribe.
Preferably, if you could also... In-person applications are also welcome. You can visit Menachem.
Link in the video description down below.
Subscribe. Or if you want to check out our other content.
Press over there.
Yeah. I don't know. Is it here? Yeah. Okay. So yeah. We'll definitely
really
be back.
I do have to say, there's a really good thing we prepared so well for how we're going to do this.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
For the entire theme of this season, you know.
Season of the listener.
But if you are a Torah Jew, then those are things you shouldn't do every day. If you are a Torah Jew, then those are things you shouldn't do every day.